I don't know how often you've sat around with kids and just listened to their conversations and how they will say things different than you and I. I was reading this week about a little girl, and this reporter was interviewing her and asking her all kinds of questions, and the reporter looked at her, and she was only about this big, and she said, "Do you help your mom cook?" "Oh yeah, I help my mom cook lots." What do you do to help your mom cook?" "Well, when we're making toast, I get to go into the kitchen and I get to open the bread and I get to take out a slice and I get to put two slices into the toaster." "Oh." And then the girl, you know how kids will pause and then continue talking? And then the girl looked at the reporter really close and says, "But I'm not allowed to flush the toast." I've been enjoying the kids this week as they've been using different words and expressing that. I want to turn to you now as parents and adults and give you a thought and give you some reflection as we look at this week. I believe, hear this, I believe children are incredibly important. I think they are to be valued and they are to be honored and they are to be taught and they are to be introduced to Jesus. But not only introduced to Jesus, taught how to walk with Jesus. There's an event that took place in the ministry of Christ that's actually only recorded about three verses. You'll find it in the Gospel of Mark, Matthew, and Luke. And it's like it's short, it's simple, and yet it's incredibly profound, so profound that these three disciples, when writing their gospel, said, you can't miss this, you can't forget about it. The setting is Jesus is in his ministry, and he has been traveling. If you know his story, as he did his ministry, he would travel from Jerusalem up to Galilee, a lake area, and teach up there for a while, and then he'd come back down and then teach, and then in Jerusalem it would get a little bit tense and a little bit upsetting, and then he would go back up. Well, he had been in Galilee. He had been teaching. It was about his second year of he taught 3 years. His second year of ministry, and it was an intensive growing time for him. Thousands of people were following him. Some of them were following him because he had this anointing and gifting of healing through the Holy Spirit, and he could literally heal any disease. He even had people coming up with a leprosy, which was the most feared, terrifying of all diseases, because not only did it affect you and eventually lead to your death, but it disfigured you and it destroyed you and it destroyed your relationship with family and everything. Jesus would go up and do the unthinkable. He would touch them, and then he'd heal them and transform them. This gift of healing caused thousands to come, asking him to heal them from the ailments that were in their bodies. And they had little things wrong, and they had great things wrong. And so thousands came for that. But even more were astonished with his teaching. And so they would come, and literally, he would take them out to the hillside because there wasn't buildings big enough to hold all the people. And he'd kind of sit them on the hillside and stand below them in like an amphitheater and teach them literally for hours. The other thing that was happening, though, is he was coming into focus and the limelight of his greatest enemies, the religious leaders of the day. They didn't like to lose power. They didn't like to lose influence. They weren't sure they were comfortable with Jesus' teaching because he was challenging some of the things that they were doing and saying. And so they started to attack him through questions. They would challenge this or challenge that. And if you know anything about Jesus, he was masterful in how he responded. But as we come to this story, he's leaving Galilee, and he's coming down what's called the Jordan River. It's a little muddy river. Many of us here have been there. I've had some privilege of baptizing a few people in that river. Very cold, and he would come down, And Jesus, it tells us, never baptized people, but his disciples did. And following the pattern kind of John the Baptist, they would immerse them under the water, and it was the idea of being cleansed and being washed. And so he would teach them, and they'd be baptizing, and he'd be healing individuals. But then something happened. Parents started to come and bring their children. Now, you and I understand going here or there, but we have cars and we do things fast, and like to drive to Calgary or to Saskatoon or to Edmonton, that you just get in there and go. You may have trailers and campers, and you pack everything up and you go away for days. They didn't have any of that. In fact, there's even a myth that everybody in Galilee had donkeys. That wasn't true. Only the rich had donkeys. And so these parents would pack up all of their kids, carrying them, mother and father, 3, 5 kids, and they'd walk from Jerusalem all the way down to Jericho and then all the way up the Jordan River until they found where Jesus was meeting. This could have been days of traveling. You ever gone hiking with your kids? Not as fast as normal. And so they would travel all their way. The kids would be tired. You'd put them to bed. You'd sleep. All of those kind of things. And the Bible says they came for a purpose. They came because they wanted Jesus to bless their children. To bless their children. Now, let me give you a few comments about this journey that they were on and this coming to Jesus and the purpose and the intention behind their mind. First of all, it took huge effort. It took an effort to bring them to Jesus. Don't miss that phrase. It took effort to bring them to Jesus. It's not something you just do quickly and easily and all of that stuff. It took effort. They were concerned about the spiritual condition of their children. And how it would be. So the belief was in those days that if you brought your children to a spiritual man or a spiritual woman, and they laid their hands on them, literally, the gifting of touch, they lay on their foreheads or their shoulders, and then prayed for them, that God would bless that child or give grace to that child so his or her future would be more successful or more in God's will or more to pleasing God, and God would walk with that child through the rest of his or her life. This was really important to them. And so they brought their children to Jesus with this deep desire that he would lay his hands on them, he would pray for them, and he would bless them. Especially for their future. As you walk through the story, let me make a comment that some of you may have heard and some of you may not have heard. There is a significance to having adults speak into and be present into a child's life. Now, some of you have been brought up with the understanding that the parent is the most important adult in a child's life, and I agree with that. I believe that you as a father or you as a mother need to intentionally take time to walk with your kids and be with your kids and teach your kids, especially in the area of their spiritual journey and their spiritual relationship with God himself. And so that's really, really, really important. But I have come to believe as a pastor over the years that's not all kids need. That kids need to have in their life what I would call other significant adults who will bless them, who will affirm them, who will encourage them, who will love them, who will lift them up. And I've walked in my personal journey and seen that happen again and again. And then as pastor here for many, many years, I've seen that happen. The kids who move into relationship not only with their parents, but with other significant adults start to blossom and start to bloom, especially in their spiritual journey. That is why in our church, we try to have children's programs. That is why we've had for years and years and years, we've had Sunday school. We're going to redo that. We tried something called Fam Jam this year, really, really successfully, and we're probably going to be trying it again this fall. There's other programs that we're running, and Amanda was up here talking about her programs that were very successful this fall. But even this VBS, so we had 105 kids. We had 49 significant adults in their life here present, touching them, speaking to them, walking with them. One of the funnest things I had this week was to walk around watching the leaders, not watching the kids. The kids were great, but watching the leaders, because what they would do is intentionally find opportunities to have conversation with them. Didn't have to be great, intense, theological. It was like, do you like? We introduce kids. This is really, really important, parents. You need to hear this. We introduce kids to a thing that you take a cup and you put ice cream in it and then you put pop in it. I was asking, do you know how many kids had never had that before, a float? Now, some of you have been brought up with them. There's a whole bunch of kids, oh, I've never tasted this before. Do you like it? Yeah, I really like it. But that created bridges. That created conversation. That created opportunity to connect with them and get to know them, and therefore to start answering their questions. Kids are great at asking questions. And they ask the most bizarre. I was reading this week as well. This tour group brought these kids into a police station. And there's all these kids, and you probably have seen them. They come in and they gather around. There's this board. And the policeman brought up this board and he showed them all these pictures on this board, and they were mugshots. And he says, kids, all these people, they're wanted. We have a warrant out for their arrest, and you just look at that picture. If you ever see them, you phone us, because those people are wanted and we need to arrest them. Some little kid in the back puts up his hand and says, so how come you didn't arrest them when you took their picture? Isn't that great? Kids ask these questions. It's like, and every year with VBS, it's kind of normal. One of the leaders will come up and say, you won't believe the question I got asked about Jesus or about God. And they do. They ask us questions that actually stretch us and push us out of our area. But I want to encourage you as parents to invite other adults into your children's lives to bless them and walk with them. There's a picture of Jesus with little kids on this side. On this side, there's an older man that you probably don't know. Some of you may have heard his name, but maybe that's even few of you. His name's Leighton Ford. Now, Leighton Ford is married to Billy Graham's sister. That's his Billy Graham's sister. Leighton Ford is an evangelist, like Billy Graham, works for Billy Graham Association, but he also has a passionate commitment for engaging with and walking with Christian leaders over the years. He will find young leaders and he will mentor them and walk with them over the years, young men, young women, and he's created a whole organization called Arrow. Several of us, Jarrell is one of them, I'm another one, have entered that program. This man has the biggest hands I have ever seen in the world. He's got these huge hands. He's this tall, big man, gentle, loving, wise. He's got, you know, this deep speaking voice that just kind of echoes as he speaks. I remember when I was in this Arrow program, Leighton Ford coming up, putting his hand on my shoulder and praying for me. And I got to tell you, I was changed. As I even reflected on that this week, I can tell you different people and their names, men and women in my life, starting as I can think of Sunday school teachers, I can think of youth leaders, I can think of men in my Bible school or my seminary training, men and women who had come into my life and spoke God's blessing and God's presence into my life that changed me. I would invite you to do that. If you're a parent, I would ask that you would look for opportunities to connect your kids with others who can speak truth into them. There are opportunities you have to speak biblical truth and God's teaching into your children's lives. Sometimes, though, when it's said by another adult, they hear it differently. And are you looking for those kind of opportunities? Are you looking to bring them to Jesus through men and women of God, disciples of Jesus? Well, here's the funny part of this story. Jesus has been teaching and doing all of this intensive ministry. These parents turn up with their kids. And the disciples look at them and say, excuse me, what are you guys doing here? And the parents say, well, we're bringing Jesus to these kids to Jesus so Jesus can bless them. And these disciples, they've been hit with him for 2 years. They've watched him preach and teach and minister and care and stay at homes and walk with people and do all kinds of, they've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. And they look at these parents and say, no, Jesus doesn't have time for these kids. Now, I tried to get in their head a little bit. I started to say, well, why wouldn't they let Jesus see these kids? Well, you know, we have a list of priorities. Have you ever heard someone say that? It's like we have this person, and Jesus can only do so much, and so the kids are in the bottom and not important. Jesus needs to speak to the adults first, and then the adults can speak to the kids, and you'll hear that kind of rationale. Well, they're sick people. And they need Jesus more than these kids. These are just kids, right? Or he's too important for kids. He's too busy for kids. You can see all these rationalizations and justifications and explanations of why Jesus had no time for kids. The Bible says, an interesting word, he says the disciples rebuke these parents. You came all this way? Are you kidding me? What were you thinking? That this Jesus would actually have time for your kids? No, understand the culture and the time. There was two major cultures there. There was the Roman culture who had conquered them, and then the Jewish culture who had been conquered. The Romans could care less about children. Like, there are all kinds of historical stories throughout our archaeology of Romans, and they had no time for kids. If a mother gave birth to a daughter and the husband didn't want the daughter, they literally threw it out in the street until it died of exposure. If they didn't want children, they'd literally take them to the garbage dump or a certain place where they were sold into slavery. Absolutely no love for kids at all. Like, they're insignificant, they're unimportant, they cost money and food, and we don't want anything to do with them. That's the Romans. Then there's the Jews, and the Jews said the only important people are those people who can obey God in all of what they do. And they had this foolish mentality that only adults could do that. So children were insignificant until they grew up. And so they pushed these kids away. You imagine you're a parent. You've walked all the way from Jerusalem. You've come through the whole Jericho Valley, which is dangerous. There's all kinds of robbers. You remember the story of the Samaritan and the Good Samaritan who helped this guy that got mugged and beat up and left for dead. Well, this is where they took their kids. They had to go through that place to get to where Jesus was. The kids would be tired. There would be no places to stay. When they got to Jericho, which was kind of halfway, it would have to be expensive to have a hotel. It was kind of a fortress anyway, and soldiers were all around, which you didn't want your kids around. And they had all of this journey they'd gone through. They get there, and it's like, sorry, not allowed. We're not going to do this. You're not invited. Now, the Bible says, when Jesus saw what they're doing, I like this, the Bible says he was indignant. Now, I searched through the New Testament and Old Testament. Do you know how many times the Bible describes Jesus as being indignant? Only here. So I looked up indignant. It means to be angry or annoyed or cross or very displeased or just mad at his disciples. What are you guys doing? You can see sheepish disciples. We're trying to protect your time and your busyness and get, you know, this isn't important, is it? Jesus looks at them and he says these words. Let the little children come unto me. Let them. I stopped at that phrase for a little bit. Let them. Do you think there are things that we do that stop kids from getting to Jesus? Sometimes I see some parents and they're kind of like they're grown-up kids. It's like, I want to do this, and they drag their kids along, and I want to do this, and they drag their kids along. I want to do that, and the kids have to come along or be left at home with the babies. And it's like they're still trying to live as kids. They're not even thinking about how their actions or their words or their priorities will influence those children. Jesus says, I want you to let them. I don't want you to be doing anything that's going to stop them from getting to me. Oh, Sunday morning, I'm really tired. Or I need my weekend off. Or you hear all of these kind of lines being told. The question is, what does your child need? Your child needs an encounter with Jesus Christ, the living God, who's come all the way from heaven to be with them. Then he says, don't hinder them. Hindrance about roadblocks, setting up things that will stop them from coming. Our world is full of that. I hear the bizarrest things going on in our culture. For instance, I will hear parents say, well, I am not going to teach my children anything about Christianity or religion. I'll wait till they grow up and then they can decide. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I'm not going to teach my kids to read and write until they grow up, and then they can decide if they want to learn it. Of course not. Or it gets even worse. I'm not going to tell my daughter she's a boy or a girl. When she grows up, she can decide. What? There's the bizarrest things in our culture that people are trying to teach these kids. We need to stop these things that will hinder them. Stop teaching them things that are false and unclear. If you were to sit down, take a piece of paper and write out and saying, these are some things I do that stops my kid from fully experiencing the presence of Jesus, what would it be? Would they see you on a given morning reading your devotions, reading your Bible, or have they never seen you read your Bible? Do you come to church occasionally, once out of a blue moon, or is it regular faith? Because your priorities tell you what's important to you and therefore important to them. What do you do, what do you say that will communicate Jesus is the most important? And Jesus said to this, the Bible says he called the children to him. My prayer this week was that our children would hear Jesus calling them. That they would be in the sessions, and you saw my teaching wife, she's really good at that, how she brings the scriptures together and the stories together, and we had leaders that helped bridge that. But my dream is, my passion is, that this week, or next week, or the next week, these children would hear the voice of Jesus calling them. Do you know we have a world that's looking everywhere for meaning and purpose and significance and hope? It's all found in Jesus. And some kids don't have anyone speaking to them. Are you speaking those words to Jesus? There's phrases we use that we need to explain to our kids. Ask Jesus Christ into your heart. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Some of you have heard that phrase. What does that mean to a child? Have you sat down and just taken time to answer their hard questions. Because sometimes their hard questions are hard. Jesus says, I want you to hear this. Come to me. I have room for you on my lap. Just come and sit on my lap. I'm going to hold you. I'm going to love you. Let me tell you another theory I have is as a pastor, as I've been counseling and caring over the number of years. Most of us have an ideal of what a loving father is, whether our father did it or not. And that standard is somehow born into us, I think placed into us by God, that we know this is what a loving father does, this is what a loving father doesn't do. And our kids watch us as fathers and say, but Dad, how come you're doing that? Or Dad, can I do that? Because you do that too. I watch you pray every morning. Can I pray too? I remember sitting with my mom on a bunk bed. I was 8 years old. And I don't even know what had been going on, a kids' meeting or something, but it was an evening. She was putting me to bed, and she says, Paul, have you ever asked Jesus into your heart and life? At 8 years old, I said, no. And then my mom asked the question, would you like to? Yeah. And we prayed the prayer. She walked me through, and we prayed the prayer. Now, was I perfect? No. As I moved into high school, I became angry and bitter with God and all of that, and it took another crisis to bring me all the way back. But she started it because she brought me to Jesus. You know what? I want to tell you this. I think the greatest privilege in the world is for a parent to sit with their child and pray a salvation prayer. If you don't know how to do that with your kid, come and ask us and we'll tell you how to do that with a kid. And maybe with you. Jesus calls them to him. Maybe he's been calling you for a long time. Then he says this, I tell you the truth, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God, like a little child, will never enter it. Well, what does he mean by that? There's something about a simple child's simple faith that just trusts. They listen to Jesus, they listen to what he says, they listen to his invitation, and they trust him, and they ask him into their heart and life. There may be lots of questions they don't have answered. Of course. We ask questions our whole life, but they trust him. Jesus says, if you're an adult, you got to do the same. You got to become like a little child, that trusting faith. Lord, I don't know all the answers. I have some big questions, but I'm going to invite you in now, and you will be changed. For the Bible says, if you ask him, he will come in and dwell with you. He will forgive you of your sins. He will help you to become like him. All it takes is beginning with simple faith. Now take us back to that event. These children came to Jesus, and he would bring them each one up at a time, maybe brothers and sisters, and they'd gather around him, and he'd ask their name, and he would ask little questions about them, and then he would lay his hands on them and pray for them and dedicate them. I love the phrase that Mark uses. And he took the children in his arms. Jesus loves each one of us so much that if we ask him, he'll take us into his arms. Put his hands on them. This is a symbol of blessing. This is a symbol of one in authority, putting a blessing, goodness, joy, peace, a prosperous future into praying into their life. And he laid hands on them. And then he blessed them. Blessing is another word for you will be happy with. Does that mean their life will be without pain and struggle? No. But when you consider our life is this long and eternity goes forever, a little bit of struggle here doesn't matter. Remember what Lois said this morning? We live in a world of trouble. Remember Kathy said that? We live in a world of trouble. This weekend, we walked away from this event. Saturday hit. We live in a world of trouble. But if we have Jesus into our heart and into our lives, it'll make it all different. So listen to the words of Jesus. His words are simple. Come unto me. Let the little children come unto me. You may be an adult and you need to do that. You may be a child and you need to do that. But we need to come to Jesus, for he's waiting for us and loves us. In fact, loves us so much he died for us. I want to be really practical. Summer is one of those times people are away on holidays and all of that stuff, and we recognize that in this church. But in the fall, we're entering programs. We're going to be looking at a fam jam. Amanda's going to be running her programs, and part of that, I think, will be the creation story. She's got some great things that the kids are loving that program. We've had other ones. Last year, we had Caleb coming, teach singing. We just had different things. Are you as a family, are you as an adult, are you as a parent planning for them? Or does the schedule work around you? Are you teaching them the spiritual habits? Are you finding them the events to come to? For some, it was coming this week. For others, it's going to camp. We just had some come from Gull Lake. We've got a camp a half an hour away, a fabulous camp. What are you doing at home? Are you modeling a devotional time, prayer time? Are you having intentional conversations with your children about Jesus? Not just the first one, not even just the prayer, salvation, but daily talking so when they grow up, they know him. Not know about him, they know him. Let the little children come unto me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is not rocket science, but it's critical. I would ask that you would be with us today as we think on these things. I just want to thank you for all of the kids who are here this week. I want to thank you for all of the adults who came and volunteered and teens who volunteered. I want to thank you for the various people who worked even behind the scenes, whether the kitchen or bringing horses in and all of those things, just to make this a fabulous week. I want to thank you for the parents that brought their kids. And I would ask that in the next days, a bounty of abundance will come. I would ask that you would be with us as we break from here, and may this be a good day, and continue to walk with us. I'd ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're just going to dismiss you. We're not going to have an ending song because we sang a bunch already. Just encourage the kids. We've left up all of our decorations, and some of them want to take you around and show you the gym and where the roping was and where the little kids were in the kitchen and the theater and all of that. As parents, take some time just to wander around and get to know the place. The kids will show you. We're also going to just put that video on again in case you want to see yourself again, and that will be playing as well. Would you stand for the benediction? As you go from here, go in the name of Father God, who loves all his children. Go in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died for his children. And go in the name of the Holy Spirit, who lives in all who have professed Christ as Lord and Savior. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.